Peter Thiel.
Yes.
Hello.
Greetings.
It is Friday. This is Labors for Neighbors. Thank you for being a guest. This is the show about labors and work and jobs. I have found you to be, I find most people to be of that ilk. Some are more superficially obvious than others. You are relatively obvious. You hold down two or three jobs. You are a radio producer, correct?
Program director and morning show host.
You are a program director and morning show host for what station?
KZRG in lovely Joplin, Missouri.
KZRG?
Yep.
In Joplin, Missouri.
Yep. K, Z as in zebra, R as in radio, G as in group.
KZRG?
Yep.
And so if someone went online and typed in WKRG, they would find your station.
Yeah. Newstalkkzrg.com.
Newstalk. See, I'm going to repeat that because it's hard to remember it. Newstalkkzrg.com.
Yeah.
I didn't know this until half an hour ago that you, see, my memory is that I thought that you were Peter Thiel, the rich billionaire. You're not.
No, I get identified for that a lot.
You're his evil twin sister. Matilda. Yes. Matilda Thiel. Oh, what does Thiel mean?
I don't know. It's I come from a long line of beer brewers and Lutheran ministers. Either or.
You are a morning show host. What time to what time?
6 to 8 Central, 5 to 7 Eastern. Monday through Friday.
Is that drive time?
Yeah.
And
what drive time you get in Joplin, Missouri? It isn't the bridges and tunnels of Manhattan.
What? Where do you get your work ethic from growing up? Who did you see modeling it? What is your mantra? Where does that come from?
Parents.
How so?
My mom would spend her summer canning and freezing vegetables and gardening and cooked, was around. My dad was a salesman. Who was, he'd get home from work and he would get out and do, he'd grill up a meal every night. My mom would hand him the meat that was prepared and he would stick it on the Weber grill and cook it up every night.
Can I go back and be your brother?
Yes. 300 days a year.
Do you have
my old man grilled 300 days a year?
Do you have, yeah?
Yeah, and here's where we lived, Minneapolis.
Oh.
So, I mean, it was winter. Okay, here's how it went. My dad would get home about 5:30. He would walk in, make my mom a scotch and soda, would make himself a martini. He would go outside, light the grill up, start getting that going on, and usually light a cigar.
And growing up, did you ever see? I had the occasional sip of a beer or an alcoholic beverage. Very, very unusual, and yet not taboo. Did you ever have a? Did you ever have a sip of martini growing up?
Do you know what? I never did, mainly because
it was taboo.
I had a sip of a beer.
You did?
Yeah.
In the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
My parents had the standard rule. They said, if you want to drink, beer, you let us buy it for you. If we catch you drinking beer, you're going to be in deep trouble.
In other words, if we let you drink beer, that's okay. But if you do it behind our back, that's not good.
Yeah, my parents were of the mindset, and I think it's worked out relatively well, is that, alcohol usage should not be considered adult behavior. So if you wanted to, once you were, if I was 8, they weren't to, I'd get a sip of beer when I was 8, at the 4th of July. But as a general rule, if you were like 15 years old and it's, it's Thanksgiving and you want to have a beer at Thanksgiving, fine, do it in front of us.
Yeah. And did you?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
How did you get the radio bug? Have you always been in radio?
Started when I was four.
When you were four?
Yeah, that's when I thought of doing a radio show.
Why at four? What happened at four?
My parents got a cassette recorder. And I kept recording over and over again, doing a show with the family canary.
A real canary.
We got top billing.
A real canary.
Yeah, a real canary. It was the Christopher, that was the name of the canary, the Christopher and Peter show. I was four. So I always wanted to do radio, but it really sort of hit me when it sort of bit me again while I was in high school.
What is your earliest recording that you still have access to?
Not that old. That may actually exist, but it's in storage.
We got to get.
My parents have since passed away. And, well, it could have also been sold off when we did did an estate sale of their home. But that there's a lot of boxes that are in storage in Los Angeles that may have that.
What's the earliest recording that you know of that you have access to?
1987, 88, maybe.
I don't want to date. I don't want to give away your age, but how old were you then?
Accurately?
No.
I tell everyone I was 17, and I stick with that.
Well, that's fine. You were 17-ish. Growing up, this financial stuff was not in the middle front of your head. What was in the front of your head regarding what you wanted to do in terms of blessing the community? You had something there. What was that something?
Wow, that's a good question.
Because we're all in it to make a buck. That's fine.
Yes.
And we put that aside, and there's something in it.
The deal about radio, and yeah. It gets driven by a couple of different things. For 99% of people who are on air on the radio, it's to express themselves in a way they do not feel they have the opportunity to do. The other thing about broadcasting is that you're able to work with and help organizations, from homeless shelters to, we did something at the station I'm at this last fall, helping to get World War II vets, they're surviving World War II vets back to Europe one more time to go see the big landmarks, the big battles. It's pretty sweet.
That's pretty sweet.
And, so that is...
That's a blessing to the community.
It's a blessing to the community. It's also a blessing to honor, these people that we have forgotten about.
Back in the day, you worked for WMCA, correct?
Yes.
And I had forgotten that. I thought that I had approached you years ago and thought that you were the other Peter Thiel. And you said, no, I'm not. But we got acquainted anyway. But you have a more accurate reading. We knew each other before that. And that you worked at WMCA, which was a helper of the New York City Rescue Mission. How many interactions did you have with the mission, approximately?
Usually about 3 or 4 times a year.
And how many years was that?
I was in New York for, I think, 7 years.
Did you ever go to the New York City Rescue Mission or not?
Yes.
And what did you do there? You just were there to broadcast, correct?
Do you know what? I never went out on broadcast day because I was always in the studio making sure that everything worked well in studio. It's because when you do that type of thing, the engineer was on site. And with the person who was the host, Kevin Cottrell.
Kevin is good.
I was in the studio making sure everything was right and also making sure it's a lot easier if all of a sudden, when you're dealing with something that like that, that's a fundraiser and that type of stuff, it's... sometimes, especially during a live broadcast, the messaging can go sideways. And so I was basically in studio listening to it right there to get to Kevin, say, hey, get to this, you're not hitting it hard enough.
How did you help what did you do at the New York City Rescue Mission? What did you do at the mission?
I just helped support the broadcast.
I see. And we have
been. And I've been there for several times for meetings.
That's
with you.
And you, but you don't have a photograph right now of me, you, and Jim Varnhagen, do you? Right this second.
No, but I believe it exists. I believe I do have it.
If you come up with it today or tonight, send it to me. I'll include it in this.
I will. I'm pretty sure I do. And it's on one of my hard drives.
Oh man. In the next 3 hours, get it to
me.
Yeah,
I'll look at it when we're done speaking.
Do you have any mantra? Do you have any work mantra before we close?
14 minutes is up already.
I know. See how it flies by?
Yeah, it's just nuts. I think the deal is we all have a special calling. We all have a special calling. And what I mean by that is that it doesn't need to be, being somebody who's been working in radio or doing whatever. It's meeting whatever our calling is.
Mm.
And
I like your mantra. We all have a special calling, and that is so true. We do. Each of us have a special calling. 6 billion special callings in the world. Peter Thiel, you've been a wonderful guest. Thank you for being a guest on Laborers for Neighbors.
Thank you very much, Joe.
See you soon, sir.
See you later on. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye-bye.